And I love being a pastor. I love being married to a pastor. I love that we have pastor's kids. But what we also know is that ministry can be challenging and marriage can be challenging, and we get to do it all, right? And so I just want to say right off the bat, I'm just in the same shoes that you are. And so if you came in here and you're like, we have to have it all together, you can just go in the bathroom and peel off your Spanx and just be a normal person where no one's wanting something from you on this retreat, where you just get to receive all that God has for you. And my prayer during this time is, here's what I know. We all are in a lot of services. We all are in church a lot. You don't need another service to attend. What you need tonight and what I need tonight is to hear from the Holy Spirit and have God encourage us how only He can. And so my prayer tonight is not that you hear what I'm saying, but that you hear what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each and every one of your hearts. Because I know in a group of women this size, there's all different types of needs that are represented. Maybe you just need encouragement tonight. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your marriage tonight. Maybe you need to have some healing happen in your heart tonight. And we know that God can do it if we give Him permission and we give Him room to do it. And so I just want to open in prayer, and then we're going to dive into our message. Heavenly Father, I thank You for each and every woman in this place. God, You know them. You created them. You have a plan and purpose for them, and You see everything about them. And God, I pray tonight that we would open up our hearts to receive everything that You have for us. God, I pray that we would set aside to-do lists that might be going on in our mind right now. I pray that we would set aside maybe the familiarity of coming together in worship and for word. And God, we would be in awe of You, and we'd want to encounter the living God. Father, I pray for anyone that's feeling tired in a spiritual sense. Lord, I pray that our spirits would be wide awake and alert to what You're wanting to do tonight. God, this is not meant to just be another night, another message, but God, we are desperate for You. We can't do ministry on our own. We can't do marriage on our own. God, we need You. And so we just invite You into this place, in this space. And I pray, God, that You would have Your way. Lord, I pray that You would help me to get out of the way so You can have Your way. Say what You want to say. Do what You want to do, God. We submit to You. And in Your name we pray, amen. Amen. Y'all, it's beautiful here. It was like a lovely drive to get here. And I'm just loving Minnesota. It's hot here. I didn't know it was going to be so hot. You either. Okay. Well, we're all on the same page. All right. Sorry, my iPad just flipped something. Isn't that fun, technology? Okay, so I want to start off tonight just by sharing a story that happened a long time ago in the caveman era, before there were iPhones, in the 1990s. Okay, anybody grow up in the 90s? It was a good decade. But in the 1990s, there was this experiment that took place in the foothills of Arizona. I was just talking to Teresa about Arizona earlier. And it was this experiment where these scientists got together and they decided to create something called the Biosphere 2. And we brought some photos. It was like basically this Earth within an Earth, where this whole thing was calculated, where they try to discover the perfect air temperature, they try to discover the perfect soil measurements, and they wanted to be able to make this self-sustaining, that they could grow vegetation, they could grow fruit, they could grow all of the things in this one environment, trees and plants, and they found that it was successful. They spent $150 million to build this biosphere. And it became world renowned, and people were coming to see that it's been growing, it's successful. But then what happened is they noticed that the trees would get to a certain height, and even though the trees were tall, one after another, these trees began to fall down, and the trees began to fall down. So all these scientists and researchers gathered together, and they started to evaluate, how is this possible? Why would the trees fall down? We created the perfect environment for growth. But they realized that in all of their perfect calculated planning, the one thing that they forgot to factor in was the wind. And it's actually when the wind blows that the roots of trees begin to grow down deep, because the wind begins to create resilience and it begins to push the roots down deeper. And what we know is that the deeper the roots, the taller the trees. The deeper the roots, the taller the trees, but the roots don't grow down deep without some wind.
And as I've been praying for you, I believe that some of you who are in here tonight have been facing some wind. You've been facing some pressure. That might be in your marriage, that might be in your ministry, that might be the own pressure that you put on yourself, that you have to do this and look a certain way and be able to get everything just right. But what I know is when the wind comes and when the pressure comes, what the enemy intended for evil, God wants to use it for good. And if you will let him, God will take the things that the enemy would try to knock you out with, and he will help your roots grow down deep so that you can rise higher for Christ and make a difference for Jesus. And some of you have been so discouraged. Why am I facing this difficulty? Why am I facing this? But if you will say, God, I'm going to stop asking what you're doing and why you're doing, I'm going to ask you, what are you wanting to produce in me through what I'm experiencing right now? I'm going to stop asking why. Why is this happening? Instead, I'm going to say, what, God? What do you want to do in me? What are you wanting to do through me? And so often we live in this world where everything we care about is what you can see. But in the biosphere too, it wasn't what you could see that was causing the problem. It's what you could not see. And tonight I'm praying that God does some deep work in maybe the unseen places of our hearts and our lives and our minds. Because God wants you to be a person of influence. He wants your life to flourish. But that happens when we do the deep work. And so if you're taking notes tonight, you can write down the title of the message. If you're not taking notes tonight, you can write down the title of the message. And it's Nourish to Flourish. Nourish to Flourish. Because God created you to flourish, but you have to have the proper nourishment. You know, I love there's a verse in Luke chapter 4, and we're familiar with Luke chapter 4. This is the famous story where Jesus goes into the wilderness. And we're not going to dive into this whole story, but just this first verse in Luke chapter 4 says this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. And what this tells us is that whatever you are full of, you will be led by. Whatever you are full of, you will be led by. And maybe we don't realize it, but when you think about it, you see how that plays out in actuality in your life. We see this all throughout the Bible, right? Peter was full of faith, so he was led by faith to step out on the water. Esther was full of courage, so she was led by courage to step out and to really save her people from genocide. Judas was full of greed, and so he was led by greed, even to the point of betraying Jesus. Whatever you are full of, you will be led by, and this applies to our lives too. If you're full of fear, you're going to be led by fear. If you're full of insecurity, you're going to be led by insecurity. If you're full of comparison, you're going to be led by comparison. If you're full of jealousy, you're going to be led by jealousy. And as people who are in ministry, whether it's your full-time calling or whether you're paid or you're not, but if you are in ministry and you're married to someone in ministry, then you are in ministry. And as people in ministry, we have to be careful of what we're allowing to lead us. And I love what Corrie ten Boom says. She's such a hero in the faith. And she says this: trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. And we know ministry isn't just what happens in a church. Ministry isn't just what happens on a stage. Ministry isn't just what happens from a microphone. When I'm parenting my kids, it's ministry. When I'm praying with my neighbor, it's ministry. When I'm serving my husband, it's ministry, right? My husband got shoulder surgery a year ago, and so, you know, men, when they are in pain, I was like, okay, I'm gonna help as much as I can. You know, I'm trying to be compassionate. Meanwhile, it's like, well, I birthed children, but that's fine. And so at the end, like, he was getting better. He was like, I just want you to know, babe, like, you did not miss your calling. You're a better pastor than you are nurse. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even remember what I was saying when I, now that I'm talking about this. I'm like, oh, all the girls, it's so good. But no, that was ministry when I'm getting to care and serve my husband. But when we're trying to do ministry in our own strength, which I think we've all been there, maybe you're there. The words of Corrie Ten Boom echo so true. Trying to do ministry in your own strength, whatever that looks like, it is tiring, it's tedious, it's exhausting. But when you are filled with the Spirit, then ministry flows out of you. And this is so important. I was sharing earlier with the team at dinner. You all call it supper. You guys are so cute. I love that. But, you know, about 6 years ago, so I had been in ministry for quite some time. And about 6 years ago, my boys were little, you know, maybe like 3 and 4. I'm not that good at math. But it was just a trying time. Our church was going through a lot. I had 2 small children, and I felt stretched really thin. And I remember I was leaving church to go home and change, to come back to church to go to a service. And as I was driving home, a huge semi-truck came and almost like T-boned me. I had to pull off the side of the road. I ended up in a ditch, and it was like a startling situation. But when I was in that ditch, I didn't feel any emotion. I wasn't like, that was scary. I wasn't, thank you, God, for my life. I just felt nothing. And I went to bed that night thinking, something is wrong with me. That is not a normal response. I'm in the ditch, almost died, and I was like, well, I got to hurry up. I got like 10 minutes before I have to get home and get back to service. And so I talked to my husband. I was like, something is not well in my heart. Like, something's not right. And so we sat down with our pastors that week, and they were like, you know, why don't you go and get counseling and maybe work through where you're at? And so we did a week of intensive counseling. And the thing that the counselor walked me through, many things, but she was like, your number one priority is to steward the equipment of Christ. I was like, what's that? She's like, that's you. To steward the equipment of Christ. Steward the equipment of Christ. And I was like, I don't even know where to begin. And she just was like, you need to begin to see yourself as someone that God made and God loves, and you need to steward the life that he's given you, because if you are not well, then you can't help anybody else be well. The most important person you will ever lead is yourself, right? Because when you get better, everybody around you gets better. It's just what happens. But if you are not well, it overflows into everybody else around you. And so I spent the next, I did 5 days of intensive counseling. The counselor gave me a lot of homework to do. One of the things that she told me to do is to identify all the lies that I was believing. She calls them little t-truth. So she's like, go through, and what are the things that are causing you to not steward the equipment of Christ well? And I was like, well, I can't let anybody down. I have to be all things to all people. I have to be everywhere. I have to walk 10,000 steps a day. I have to care for my children, make sure that we have sex, that we have dinner. Like, I have to do all of the things. And she was like, okay. She's like, let's start to break down the little t-truths that you've been telling yourself that are not true, and let's identify what the capital t-truths are. What does God say about you? And so I began to identify, what does God say about me? And I started to every day declare those things. And over the next year, I began to have health again in my heart and in my mind. I began to regain feeling and not just go through life on autopilot. How many of you know you can be on autopilot in the driver's seat with your family and church in the back seat, and that is not what God wants for you, and that is not what God wants for the people around you? But only you can help you get healthy, right? Like, you have to put in the work, and you are designed to flourish, but you cannot flourish without the proper nourishment. And you know who has to do the work to be nourished? I do, and you do. Nobody else can do that for you. When I was in that place of going, I am not okay, I wasn't like, that's my pastor's fault, that's my husband's fault, that's the church's fault. I was like, no, I am in charge of the equipment of Christ, and I have responsibility in this to figure out what's going on. And so I just want to encourage you not to try to do ministry, your family, your church, your life in your own strength, but let God fill you up so you get to the place where you can overflow into the people around you. And I love what it says in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Another verse says, guard your heart, keep vigilant watch over your heart. Keep vigilant watch over our heart. And what I've learned as women is that we can be quick to guard everything around us. We can guard our reputation. We can guard our bank account. We can guard our social media. We can guard our people's opinions. We can guard our political view. We can guard whatever, but we can forget to guard our heart. And what we know about being in ministry, if we're going to make it for the long haul, is we have to have thick skin and a soft heart. But sometimes we end up getting soft skin and a hardened heart. And we have to be able to keep a soft heart before God, because it's going to help us be effective for the kingdom of God. But only you can do the hard work of the heart work. And it's getting before God saying, God, search me, know me, create in me a clean spirit, O God. I want to be pure before you. I want to be desperate for you. I don't want to just play ministry. I don't want to be an autopilot through this life. But God, I want everything that you have for me. And we're talking about we got to be nourished to flourish. Sometimes we can walk around spiritually malnourished. And if you look at what the symptoms are of being malnourished, it's things like fatigue, anxiety, tiredness, fear, worry. These are symptoms of when you're physically malnourished, but I think we see that overflow when we are spiritually malnourished. Lack of clarity. You feel like you're in a haze right now. So we must be spiritually nourished if we're going to flourish. And it's God's plan that each of us would flourish in our marriages, in our ministry, in our family, in our neighborhoods, in your job, whatever your situation looks like. And I love what it says in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. When I read that, I was like, God, let that be me, that I'm not worried, that I don't have fear, and that I never am failing to bear fruit, even if I'm in a season of drought. Do you know that you can be in a season of blessing and burden simultaneously, right? You can be in a hard situation and still be bearing fruit. That's God's promise to us in Jeremiah 17. It might be a hard season in your church. You can still bear fruit. It might be a hard season with your kids. You can still bear fruit. It might be a hard season in your marriage. You can still bear fruit. God created us that way. But when I read this, I was like, I want all of those things, God, to be blessed, to not have fear, that my leaves are always green, no worries. And God was like, it's all right in this verse. When you trust in me, you have confidence in me, you're planted and you're rooted, those things are the byproduct. You don't have to chase the fruit when you have deep roots. So we're just going to go over four ways that you can flourish as you leave here tomorrow and you go back into your ministry and into your world and into your marriage. So four ways to flourish, they're all found in this verse. The first one is trust in God. Trust in God. Now, I know we're all like, we're Christians, we do trust in God, okay? But yet, how many times have you said, if I want something done right, I just have to do it myself? Right? Like, we're women, and we're like, if I want something done right, I just have to do it myself. What we're saying when we say that is that we trust ourselves more than anybody else. Y'all, that can be a scary thing if we trust ourselves more than anybody else. And God wants us to put our trust in him. And so many times when we're worrying, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I don't trust you. Okay, worry is placing trust in ourselves and in our own limited resources. Because when you worry, what happens? You start to get stuck in this worry loop. How am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this ministry? How am I going to fix my marriage? How am I going to fix my kids? How am I going to fix? But when you place your trust in God and you're saying, God, I'm going to turn my worries into prayers, prayer is placing our trust in God. And I just want to encourage you, some of you, you got to get desperate again for God in prayer. You used to pray that you would one day have a husband, and then you have your husband and you haven't prayed for him since then, right? I just want to encourage you, pray for your spouse. Pray for your kids. Pray for your health. Come back to a desperation for God in prayer, believing that when we pray, God hears our prayers. I love what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. Strip away your title. Strip away what you do. Strip away your years in ministry. Strip away the position of your spouse. Strip it all away. God cares about you. He cares about you. And we have to remember this, because when we start thinking, okay, God, I'm just trying to earn your approval, I'm just trying to earn this person's approval, we forget who God is and that God cares about you. He cares about who you are. He wired you up. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He loves you. Your identity is not found in what you do. Your identity is found in who God made you to be. You are his daughter, and he loves you. And you might just need to come back to God and say, God, oh, I've lost sight of it all, in all of the busyness and in all of the things. And just go, God cares about me. So every worry that I have, every care that I have, I can give it back to God, because God cares about you. Not because of what you do, but because you belong to him. He loves you. The second key to flourishing is that we would have confidence in God. Okay, so many women are looking for confidence. We try to find it in what people say about us and who likes our photos on social media. We try to find it by making everybody happy. We try to find confidence in relational status or our job performance. And we can be all about self-care, and we can be all about self-help. But the confidence that we're looking for is not going to be self-confidence, but what we need is a God confidence. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Okay, a key to cultivating God confidence is don't think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. Think of God more. Think of others more, right? We just have this like gravitational pull to think about ourselves. Like if you take a picture with 20 people, who's the first person you're looking at? It's you. And if like everybody else looks terrible, but you look good, you're like, that's going on Facebook. Because it's just this like innate pull that we have to think about ourselves. But what we're really looking for is a God confidence, and that comes from spending time with our Creator and knowing that he is the one who gives us our worth. He is the one who gives us our value. And it's really important for us as leaders, because everybody in here is a leader, that we lead from a place of approval, not from a place that we're trying to find approval. When you know, God put me here, I'm positioned by him, I have God's approval because he is my creator and he loves me, you're going to lead with a different confidence. But if you're leading trying to gain approval of other people, you're going to be worn out, because you can't please everybody and you can't make everybody happen. And we're designed and we're created to please God and to serve people. But sometimes we flip that and we're thinking, well, I'm just created to. Yeah, so just we want to be leading from a place of approval, not needing approval. And part of how we do this, build confidence, is to celebrate other people instead of comparing ourselves against other people. Okay, so often we can be like, but I'm better, and my hair is better, and my husband's hotter, and Andy Stanley calls us living in the land of Ur, right, where everything's just a comparison. My grass is greener, And really what we want to do, instead of comparing ourselves with other people, we want to celebrate other people. I see the gift in you. I see the growth in you. I see the call in your life. And as we begin to celebrate other people, we are going, okay, I don't have to compete. Instead, I'm going to celebrate. Could we be a sisterhood of women who celebrate one another instead of compare ourselves against each other? Because when we compare, what's happening either is we're making ourselves feel better or worse, and neither one is pleasing to God. So we're going to celebrate other people and not compare. The third thing that we're going to do to flourish is we're going to be people who are planted. And I know that we're planted. We're going, yes, I am planted in Christ. And I want you to think about how many of you like to garden. You're like, I'm a gardener. I love to garden. A few people, okay? I try to garden. Most things die, though, when I plant them. But I attempt to garden. But I want you to think about, if you are planting something, you're preparing the soil and you plant a seed, you're doing it strategically and intentionally. You're planting specific seeds to reap a specific crop or to grow a specific vegetable or flowers or whatever it might be. It's planted with intentionality. But what happens sometimes is that when we're planting, right, it's kind of dirty. You have to get a little bit dirty. It can be kind of dark. And sometimes when God has us planted in a certain season, we don't feel planted. We feel buried and we feel forgotten. Like, I've just been planted here and now I feel overlooked. I was just planted here and now I feel all alone. I was planted here and I feel like I've been forgotten about. But I want us to remember the process that happens when a seed is planted. And we actually have a photo of it here, of a seed that's planted. If you see, a seed is planted, and the first thing that happens when a seed is planted, one, it's planted underground, so it's protected from the outside elements before it's ready. It's actually protected as it's planted. It's not punishment, it's protection. And then what happens is the seed, the shell, begins to crack, it begins to break, it begins to shed away the old so that it can bring forth new life. Every time that I feel like I've been in a planted season, which is the majority of my years in ministry, what I know God's doing is he's helping to shed old mindsets. He's helping to break away things that are not honoring him. He's helping to shed away old habits. And that's what happens during the planted season. It's a season of breaking, but the reason it's a season of breaking is because it wants to be a season that brings forth new life. And then what we see is that once there's breaking that happens, the roots begin to grow deep long before anything is happening above the surface. It's what's happening below the surface that's really going to matter. And the reason it matters that the roots grow down deep is because we have to be people who are growing in opposite directions at the same time. We're growing deep so that we can grow up tall in Christ. We're growing deep so that we can be flourishing in the name of Jesus. We're growing deep so that we can have strength. So when the wind comes and the pressure comes, we're not toppling over like the trees in the biosphere too, but we are strong in Christ. And so if you're planted, don't feel like I'm overlooked. Everybody forgot about me. Other people are getting opportunities, but not me. Other people are being promoted, but not me. Other people, no. Could you trust God that he has you planted for a reason, that he has you planted for this season, and that while you're planted, God is preparing you for what he has planned for you. He's preparing you for what he has planned for you. We see it all throughout the Bible. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Before he was called to release the people out of their slavery. What about Joshua? He was Moses' assistant for 40 years as well. 40 years as his assistant before he got to lead the people into the promised land. Esther was hidden as an orphan girl. Nobody expected she would be the queen that would help her people. They were planted for a reason, but the planted season is preparation for what God has for you. Don't wish away the preparation season, and how you steward this season of preparation is going to determine how and when you move into the next season that you've been praying for. Let God do the work he wants to do in you. Even tonight, I'm believing that there's some shedding that's going to happen. Shedding of old mindsets, shedding of hurts, shedding of hardened soil. Maybe your heart has gotten hard and God's wanting to stir that up so it's soft again. God is into the hard work of the heart work. I stand before you today with a microphone, but for most of my ministry life, I was in a production booth like that, helping to make sure that services ran well in my church. I sat there week after week. I felt a call into ministry when I was 18 years old. God told me I would be encouraging people, especially women. I didn't see to come that path for many, many years. But that season for me was a season where I got to say, God, I will be faithful when no one is looking. God, I want to help set the environment for ministry to happen, even if nobody knows who I am. They don't even know what I do because people don't know what production people do. But I just want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. We don't need people who want to be famous. We need people who want to be faithful. We don't need people who want recognition. We need people who are going to say, I'm going to be obedient the same direction for a long time. Obedient, faithful. God, I'm here to be used by you. God, I love you so much. I'm not leading because I want approval. I'm leading because, God, you already have it because I am your daughter. I want to be faithful. And the last thing for flourishing is that we have roots that reach. That's what the verse said, that their roots would reach for the living water. How many of you know sometimes reaching can feel exhausting? You're like, I already got a lot going on. Wouldn't it be nice if I woke up every morning and somebody was there with like, good morning, Lisa. Here's your hot Americano. Here's your Bible. It's open to John chapter 6. That's where you left off. I'm going to play some nice music while you read that. Someone will get your kids dressed for school today. They'll pack their lunches. You just have some quiet time. That's never happened to me before in my life. If I want to grow, I'm going to have to reach for the things that grow me spiritually. I'm going to have to reach for the word. I'm going to have to reach to turn on that worship music. I'm going to have to reach to have life-giving friendships and life-giving relationships. Those don't happen by accident. And sometimes just because you're in proximity with somebody doesn't mean it's the person that you're meant to be iron sharpens iron with. It's going to take intentionality. And what I love about roots that reach, it reminds me of the redwood trees. And a couple years ago, I got to go out and see some in person. I was just amazed by their beauty. They're just stories high. And their roots don't go super deep, but they are very long. And the amazing thing about redwood trees is that their roots are interlocking. So the way that they're able to withhold that height is that they're anchored by the roots, by the trees next to them. In fact, you will never see a redwood tree growing in isolation. It's impossible for a redwood tree to reach its fullest potential, to flourish how it's created to, in isolation. And I want to encourage us as women who are in ministry, pastors, wives, do not try to grow in isolation. I know you've been hurt before by somebody. Girls can be mean, right? Girls can be catty. Girls can compare. Girls can cut down. But I want to encourage you, be in prayer. God, who are the people that I meant to go deep with? Who are the people that are iron sharpens iron? The Bible talks about how iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In the Amplified Version, it says that iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another through discussion. So when you're having conversation with people, be thinking, is this edifying? Is this iron sharpens iron? Or are we gossiping? Are we cutting people down? What kind of conversations are we actually having? Because if you want to flourish, one of the most important things are the people that are closest to you. And as women who are in ministry, oh, it's so important to listen to what we're saying, to be aware of what other people are saying, to listen to what are we trying to consume to nourish us. Is it actually going to nourish us, or is it actually going to be harmful for us? Right? As a parent, I'm like always on the lookout for what my kids are eating. I'm like, don't eat that red dye. It's going to make you crazy. Like, you know, because I care about what they consume because it affects their growth. What we consume affects our growth. And maybe you're like, well, I'm not gossiping, but are you entertaining it? You're consuming it. Would you be bold enough to say, hey, that's not honoring. That's not edifying. We're not going to talk that way. And so we want to be people who are going to grow and who are going to flourish, but who we're in proximity with really matters. And I remember going through a season in my life where I felt extremely lonely in ministry. And I was like, I'm not sure who to turn to. What does this look like? And I took it to God in prayer. God, would you reveal to me who am I meant to be growing in Christ with? And he pointed out a few people who I didn't have a relationship with. We were very different from each other. And I was like, are you sure about that, God? Okay. And I, out of obedience, was like, hey, would you want to grab coffee sometime? I felt weird. I was like, what if they say no? I don't know. And this was a while ago, and they turned out to be one of my very best friends that we have done life and ministry with together for 15 years. God has that person for you, but you have to be willing to say, I'm going to pray about it. I want to interlock roots with the right people so I can grow to the height that God has for me. Just because they've been your friend, sometimes there's friends for a reason and there's friends for a season. And if you're surrounded by people who cannot cheer you on, who cannot celebrate your wins, who cannot celebrate your marriage, you need to evaluate that and come before God and say, God, point out to me who are the iron sharpens iron people that I am meant to grow strong with Christ in. Okay, I love you guys. Is that too intense? Let's just be real. It matters. Okay, thank you. I'm going to talk to you over here. Okay, so what happens when we grow our roots down deep and we do the hard work? We're trusting in God. We're placing our confidence in him. We're rooted in him. We're reaching for the things that are going to nourish us. What happens is that our life begins to bear fruit. It is the natural byproduct that when you are nourished, you flourish and you bear fruit. And sometimes it can be easy to try to chase fruit, but you don't have to chase fruit. When your roots are going down deep, you will produce it in your life. What is that fruit that you produce? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things will become evident in your life when you are rooted in Christ and when you are nourishing yourself. And what's amazing is that when your life begins to bear fruit, it's not just for you, but it's for the people around you. When your life bears fruit, it's for your kids. It's for your ministry. It's for your neighbors. It's for your place of employment. It's for your family. It's for your church. It's not just for you. And the reason the enemy works so hard to keep us from flourishing is because he knows that if a woman is going to be, she's going to be a person of influence. And if you are like, this is where we're going, you're going to have a slew of people going with you because God made us gatherers. He made us to grow. And the enemy will try to fight against that with everything that he's got. He does not want you to grow. He does not want you to flourish. He does not want your church to flourish. He does not want your marriage to flourish. But God created you to flourish. And when you do that, it's not just for you, but it's for those around you. So I want to invite the keys player to come up, and we're just going to create an altar response moment. As I was praying for this, I was going to end a different way, and I felt God say, no, you're not going to end that way. And so I want to be obedient to do what God has asked me to do. But when you walked in, you received a note card. And what we want to do is create just an environment where you can reflect on what God's wanting to do in your life in this season. Some of you, you are going, I know God wants me to flourish, but there's been some things that have been blocking that from happening. Maybe it's like your soil of your heart has gotten hard and it's rocky and it's not able to grow and to hold the seed that God wants for you. Maybe it's like, yeah, I have some friendships that are not edifying and I got to make some changes in that. Maybe you have been riddled by insecurity and you've been leading from a place of insecurity. Maybe you've been at a place where you're feeling jealous. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage and you're going, I just need to come before God and I know I'm in ministry, but I'm also a human and Lord, I need help in my marriage. For me, I needed to go to counseling. Maybe for you, that's going, I need to be honest about what's really going on in my life. I haven't done that yet. And so on that card, I want you to write down what's preventing you from flourishing, what's preventing you from growing, what's preventing you from everything that God has for you. What's one thing that's trying to hinder your growth? It might be unforgiveness. It might be gossip. I don't know what it is for you, but I believe that you already know what it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And so what I want you to do is write down what that is. And when you're ready, you can bring it up here and you can drop it off at the altar. Don't write your name, so it just remains anonymous. This is just between you and God. And once you drop off that card, you can pick up this packet, and it's a seed packet. It's got seeds for wildflowers. If you need to plant some, you can rip this open and plant it in your yard. Or you can just take this home as a reminder. It says, nourish to flourish. See, these seeds in here are designed to grow. They're designed to bloom. They're designed to blossom. But they can't do that if they stay in this packet. They can't do that if I try to plant them on this floor. They can only do that if they're planted in the right soil and then they're given the right nourishment. And whenever you see this packet of seeds, you might want to keep it in your Bible, in your windowsill, maybe in your office, wherever, in your car. I want you to remember, if I want to grow, I have to do the hard work of the heart work, and I need to nourish in order to flourish. It's not just going to happen automatically. We don't drift into growth. We don't drift into health. It happens through the hard work of the heart work. And God wants that for each and every one of you. Your life is too precious. Your calling is too great to give into the lies of the enemy and not bloom and flourish to all that God has for you. And so I'm going to take a second. I just want to pray over you. And then we're going to give you a couple minutes. We're going to sing a song and just praying that ministers to you while you write down what it is maybe that you're going, I need to leave this at the altar tonight.